So between Instagram and Instant Pots, we've been talking this hour about how when people show off their food, they're showing off some part of themselves that they want you to see. You know, we're always a little bit performing, right? We're living our values out loud, you know what I mean? And back in the 60s and 70s, from the Summer of Love to the end of the Vietnam War, the hippies did exactly that. The hippies were the poster children of wearing your values on your sleeve, and almost everything they did was to show us how to break away from the mainstream. The way they dressed, the way they talked, the way they smelled, and of course, the way they ate. And while you might still know a couple of deadheads, I'm almost sure you're still eating food that the hippies popularized. Granola, tofu, soy milk, and maybe even the toast you had this morning. Our contributor Joe Yonan, food and dining editor of the Washington Post, talked with Jonathan Kaufman, author of a book called Hippie Food, about America's reintroduction to brown bread.
Hey, Jonathan. Great to have you.
Hey, Joe. Great to be here.
So, Jonathan, why did hippies or the long hairs, the revolutionaries that you write about, why did they end up taking up whole wheat bread?
Well, the counterculture natural food movement was really oriented around the idea that we needed to avoid industrialized food. So that meant any food that was grown with pesticides and herbicides and fertilizers and that was made with all kinds of additives and flavorings. So the way they wanted to do that was by going back to, you know, a simpler way of cooking and eating whole foods as much as possible so they could kind of escape the industrialized food supply. And because bread was so central to the American diet, they figured that, you know, changing the bread they ate and learning how to bake it was taking control over their health.
So where did the hippies start baking this brown bread?
Well, one of my favorite stories about the early period, sort of the late 1960s, was in San Francisco in the Haight-Ashbury during the Summer of Love. There was this group of hippies who called themselves the Diggers, and they were the radical philosophers of the hippie scene. And they used guerrilla theater and these big street parties to shock people into thinking about the world in some new ways. And they were also really concerned about all of the teenagers who were like taking a bus to San Francisco and showing up with no money and no good sense of, you know, how to live once they arrived in, you know, among the flower children. And so they began dishing out stew in Golden Gate Park, and anybody who could bring a spoon and a bowl could eat for free. And this engineer from Palo Alto named Walt Reynolds heard about this, and he decided they needed to have bread as well. So he drove up to this church in the Haight-Ashbury. He brought 100-pound sacks of flour and a ton of coffee cans and taught them how to make these cylindrical loaves. And they were so successful that they began baking like hundreds of loaves of bread to give away every week. And then they gave that recipe out to everybody.
So it sounds like this recipe was really part of resistance, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to remember that for most of the baby boomers, bread was fluffy, snow white, chemically enhanced Wonder Bread. So, you know, there was this rising consciousness of all of the food additives and preservatives that were needed to make white bread, and they started calling it plastic bread.
So back to those cans of brown bread, and how do I ask you this, Jonathan? Was this good bread? Did it taste good?
What I heard from the people who were baking it was that it really depended on the baker.
Okay. But that,
some of the early experiments with whole wheat baking were not great. The macrobiotic diet, which was also popular in this early, you know, hippie era, didn't believe in yeasted breads. They felt like they were dangerously unhealthy. And so you would have macrobiotic kids baking these 1-pound bricks of dough and then slicing them into these very thin slices. And that was the only way you could eat them.
So how did it get better? I'm assuming it must have gotten better. And how did they learn to bake whole wheat bread that was more interesting?
I think, like much of the diet, I think practice really helped. I mean, I think so many people had this idea of what hippie food was based on those early experiments. I think the most influential teacher was Edward S.B. Brown, who was a monk at the San Francisco Zen Center. And he was the head cook at the Tassajara Zen Monastery in Northern California. And he had learned how to make this really good brown bread from a couple of folks, you know, a couple of older folks. And he just was making it and experimenting it, and it was so good that he decided that he should really write a book that would teach people not just sort of a recipe, but like how bread should look and feel when you're kneading it, how it should smell. And the recipe he came up with was so reliable and so tasty that the Tassajara bread book, which came out in 1971, really took off. It became a bestseller.
It somehow isn't surprising that it all comes back to a monk when it comes to bread breaking.
Oh, I mean, he was all about, you know, the sense of present, being present with the dough as you're making it. It's very romantic as well as practical.
So is this where community bakeries got their start?
It was. A lot of the counterculture kids weren't just, you know, interested in improving their health, but really creating a new economy that was outside of you know, large-scale capitalism and the industrialized food supply. So in the mid-1970s, a number of collectively run bakeries formed, and many of them based their core recipe on Edward Brown's Tassajara bread recipe.
So, Jonathan, you write a lot about how the hippies affected what we eat today. Do you think that we can thank them for our current obsession with whole grains?
I think we really can. When you look at early nutritionists and what they were saying about whole wheat bread and brown rice, is they were really poo-pooing it. They felt like there was no real nutritional advantage to eating whole wheat bread over regular bread as long as you ate a balanced diet. But in the late 1970s, scientists and nutritionists began discovering the beneficial effects of fiber. And all of a sudden, this kooky diet started making a lot more sense. And so now even the USDA recommends that we eat half of our grains as whole grains. But even more recently, there's this interest in baking circles in heirloom grains and ancient grains. And there's a whole new crop of bakers who are inspired by Chad Robertson at Tartine Bakery, who are baking these airy, crusty, beautiful sourdough loaves. And this is some of the best bread that you can find in the United States.
Well, I know I'm not the only one that then is very thankful for the hippies. Thank you so much for coming in to talk to us about it, Jonathan.
Thanks for having me.
Jonathan Kaufman is author of Hippie Food: How Back to the Landers, Longhairs, and Revolutionaries Changed the Way We Eat. Joe Yonan is the author of America, the Great Cookbook. And if that conversation got you excited for some whole wheat bread, you should head to our website, splendidtable.org, for a terrific recipe from Chad Robertson of Tartine. And he really is one of the great bakers of the world. Anyway, we have his recipe for whole wheat bread on splendidtable.org.